the Business on RTE Radio 1 with Bank of Ireland, supporting businesses during National Enterprise Week this November 14th to 21st.
Well, after a number of lean years, the Irish tourism sector is showing signs of bouncing back. Overseas visitor numbers are rising. Initiatives such as The Gathering and the new Wild Atlantic Way seem to be paying off. And last week, Lonely Planet ranked Ireland in its top 10 places to visit in 2015. All grist to the mill, no doubt, of Michael Cawley, Chairman of Fáilte Ireland. Michael, thanks very much for coming in to us.
Pleasure.
First of all, does Ireland deserve this ranking by the Lonely Planet, you think?
Oh, I think I'm disappointed that we're only fifth. I think we should be much higher. But we're certainly ambitious to improve. I think under the criteria which were applied about the scenery and the friendliness of the people, I can't think of any place that would be above us. But I'm very pleased that we have still some room to improve, and the recognition is well overdue, and I hope that it will bring even more tourists to Ireland over the coming years.
What are the areas then in which we need to improve?
Well, I think a lot of work has been done by Fáilte and Tourism Ireland on identifying exactly the tourism groups that we need to target. We've identified three specific groups of people, people who are culturally curious, people who want energetic holidays, and those people who are here just to laze around and tour around. And we then have to look and see what in our portfolio of products, if you like, that we can offer those people are specifically designed to attract those individual groups. Those groups travel a lot, so they're high-yielding customers when they come, and they're also loyal in that they repeatedly come to places that please them. I think Ireland can please them. I think we can package in a number of different ways. You mentioned the Wild Atlantic Way. I think we have, for people who want to visit a city, there's one, you know, capital city. Dublin is without parallel in terms of its variety, its friendliness, and the entertainment, which is very close to hand and reasonably priced as well when compared to some of the other capital cities around Europe. We're also designing a project on the south and east coasts, which will be built around the built heritage which we have there, which is another important attraction for people who fit into the categories I mentioned earlier on. So if now that we've done the research on the categories of people that we're targeting, we can build the product successfully that we have here in Ireland and that we can develop in Ireland to attract those specific people, I think we can even increase our rate of success even more. Wild Atlantic Way is a little bit ahead of the other two projects, and we've already seen the success that can give us simply by targeting people whom we know want that type of product and marketing it, of course, in a very meaningful way for them.
The feedback so far from the Wild Atlantic Way seems to have been very positive. Has there been any measurable impact there? What sort of figures are you seeing on how successful it has been?
Well, tourism generally to the end of September is up by 9% on last year, and we expect, in fact, to have our best year ever, even surpassing the record year of 2007 in the current year. Of course, we should be ambitious for much more. What is clear is that much of that growth is happening in Dublin, and that's down to the increase in flights, which, of course, is critical. The access not just from North America, including Canada, which is up 300% in terms of capacity of seats, but places like Britain, which is our biggest market and will always remain our biggest market, where there's been massive increase by both Ryanair and Aer Lingus, and also continental Europe. And those short trips from people really underpin the big volume. The, you know, 83% of our tourists by volume come from Britain, or our of our international tourists come from Britain or continental Europe. And that's the area that we want to foster, as well as obviously those from the transatlantic. But what we are seeing, the one area outside of Dublin that has gained is the Western Seaboard. And I think it's no coincidence that, you know, that's covered by the Wild Atlantic Way. We've seen spectacular increases in places like Killarney, Galway, and further north up in Donegal, I'm very pleased to say, because one of the things we have to do in the Wild Atlantic Way is not just reinforce the strong areas that we already have, such as Galway and Killarney, but also spread people right along the 2,500 kilometres of the Wild Atlantic Way, bringing them to villages, headlands, islands, and other points of interest that they only that can compete for these people once they're here. And we hope to replicate that, as I say, with developments in Dublin and also in the south and east, which are a little bit behind, but the success of the Wild Atlantic Way is really buoying us up with enthusiasm that we can repeat that success in these other two areas as well.
You've mentioned Dublin yourself, though, in previous interviews, and indeed quite critically in some respects. Particularly, you were referring to Temple Bar and talking about trying to clean up its image. What's the plan there?
Well, I think, you know, much and all as we have a great product, we have to be critical of the areas which are clearly not attracting tourists, and in fact are in some cases from our research putting tourists off coming here. And we have to be realistic about this. And from the Temple Bar situation, it's been fantastically successful for the last 20 odd years. I think its image that we're getting back is somewhat off-putting for certain sections of the tourist community that we're targeting. Having said that, it does attract other sections of tourists that we want to retain. Perhaps we need to do things, some things about the cobblestones there, for example. You know, anecdotally, women don't like to walk in stilettos, can't walk with their stilettos on those. And if men wear some men wear stilettos, I'm sure they find it difficult as well. So that's a real practical problem we need to fix. But we have much that's positive in Dublin. For example, the literary heritage of Dublin is something that we haven't tapped into at all. I can't think of any city in Europe that has as rich a literary heritage, and not just dead authors, there are living ones, yeah. Roddy Doyle, Celia Hearn, you know, Anne Enright, all these people. And we need to build a facility or facilities around this heritage. Then we have sport, for example. I mean, I think the fact that Sky are now covering, in an international sense, hurling and football, and its increasing popularity, particularly hurling, must open possibilities for us to actually use it as a vehicle for bringing tourists into the country. So there's loads of potential here. We're only limited by the limit of our imagination, and let's hope there's much scope to grow.
When you were appointed in May by the then Minister for Transport and Tourism, Leo Varadkar, he said if you could do for tourism what you did for Ryanair, and for listeners who maybe don't remember you in your previous incarnation, you were Deputy Chief Executive of Ryanair, but if you could do for tourism what you did for Ryanair, you'd be doing very well indeed. What do you think Fáilte Ireland can learn from your previous employer?
Well, I think Fáilte Ireland has every right to be as ambitious as Ryanair was. I think you've got to start with a target and you've got to be ambitious about it. And I've always said, even when Ryanair was critical of other arms of government, that both Tourism Ireland and Fáilte Ireland were among the best among their peer group.
Including the gathering of which Ryanair, I think, was quite critical at the time.
Well,
Michael O'Leary was.
I think it was critical in that we were critical only because, you know, Ryanair had other opportunities to bring as many tourists into the country. The gathering was a phenomenal success. But Ryanair also was offering alternatives in other years, which would have had as much impact as the gathering. And in fact, we've proven this year, Ryanair has, that with access, without the corresponding attraction of something like the gathering, we can actually increase tourism by as much as the gathering did last year. What the gathering did do in positive terms was it actually showed the potential of our communities around Ireland to actually, on a voluntary basis, take advantage of this massive opportunity of marketing that both Tourism Ireland and Fáilte Ireland were exposing the country to abroad. So, and then, the, you know, this idea of bringing back the diaspora. These were not ideas that were generated by Fáilte Ireland or Tourism Ireland. These things came out of communities around the country. And I want to exhort communities in a similar way to take advantage of the Wild Atlantic Way. And I know they are. I know they're fighting hand over fist down in Mayo and in Kerry to be competing with one another. And, you know, the benefits of competition are manifest in many aspects of our economy. And, you know, if one village is as good as another, that can only be the target for the lesser one to improve the next year.
You sound like you're very enthused by the tourism sector and by the job. Was it difficult, though, to leave the cut and thrust of the PLC, the cut and thrust of Ryanair, and come to the position that you're in now? Was that a tough decision to make?
Well, it wasn't a tough decision in that I was—I had made a decision to leave Ryanair because I had been approached by Paddy Power and Kingspan, both of whom I've joined, and both fine companies. And, you know, I had a big birthday last April, and I had been in Ryanair
40?
About 40 plus VAT, yeah.
Only 9% VAT.
That's right. We had, you know, I'd gone from 3 million passengers to 83 million. I don't think I had to sit around to get to 120 million to prove anything to myself. I wanted to do other things in life. We had grandchildren coming and spend a bit more time doing other things other than the full immersion of Ryanair as it demanded. And I had 17 fantastic and very happy years there.
Would you have liked to have had a tilt at the top job, though, if Michael O'Leary had stuck to his I'll step down in 2 years promise that he made, I think, pretty much every 2 years?
Well,
for the last
I was 6
years.
Months in Ryanair in 1987 and Michael said, I'll be gone out of here next year and you can look after it. So we'll take that with a grain of salt. Obviously, I think it's the best job in Ireland, running what I would regard as the best company in Ireland. There are some other fantastic companies, both of, you know, Kingspan and Paddy Power, two very good examples of excellent companies, and there are many more. But yes, I would have liked that. But going back to the tourism is something I've been exposed to since I joined Ryanair right across Europe, And I think it is. It has a massive beneficial economic and social impact and employment impact. Like, I can't think of any other industry that generates particularly first-time jobs for young people. Here, I think it's very important as one with four children, two of whom live abroad. I'd like to think we can create enough employment and enough interesting employment for our young people to stay here in this country. And I see tourism as a massive vehicle to do that, particularly in the regions.
Because you've already mentioned, for example, you mentioned Donegal, sure, the northwest, you mentioned the southeast, and obviously Waterford is an unemployment black spot, or has been historically, areas that I know are very much on your roadmap. But you talk to people in the tourism sector, and one of the big things they'll say is, yes, we can get visitors into Dublin, we can get visitors to Kerry, we can get visitors to the big cities. How do we crack that nut, though, of spreading the wealth?
Well, I think the Wild Atlantic Way in its first year and a half has reinforced the attraction of Killarney and Galway initially. But what's very pleasing to me is that places like Mayo, for example, particularly Downpatrick Head, places that were really not on the tourist map before, except to a limited extent, I hope they don't mind my saying that, same with Donegal, have now begun to really push themselves forward. And I hope to see the same happening on the East Coast. And I think we have a fantastic heritage from Waterford through the Viking Centre, Wexford, Kilkenny, which is almost the natural centre of that south and east, and obviously the county I live in now, Wicklow, with Glendalough and Enniskerry and so on. You know, unparalleled beauty, and we need to package that in a way that will attract these culturally curious people, the people who want energetic walks over the Wicklow Mountains, etc., etc. All of that says to me that if we have half the success that we have in the Wicklow Way, we will, or in the, sorry, on the Wild Atlantic Way, we will actually, a Freudian slip, we will actually achieve what you're asking about there. We will get people to disperse out of Dublin, because the targeted groups that Fáilte and Tourism Ireland have identified want to leave the city. They want to come to the city too, many of them. But many of them want to leave the city and experience the unique attraction of Ireland's countryside and the hospitality they get there.
I know you're very focused on the new gig or the current gig right now. I'm going to hit you with one more Ryanair question, though, because it's interesting. Coincidence or not, you can tell me that since you left now, Ryanair has become the much cuddlier Ryanair, much more customer friendly. Is that all down to your departure?
Absolutely. Yeah, Michael said that the minute you go outside the door, I'm going to show my true self.
And it was you all along, you were holding him back.
Meaning him, and he is now, you know, showing that he's a cuddly teddy bear in reality, and that I was the one holding it back. So I'm delighted. I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled at the success that the airline continues to have. I think we, you know, as my colleague Howard Miller said, we probably emphasized the implementation of rules rather than regarding our passengers as customers. We're talking about them as customers, which is a great thing. We've kept our punctuality as good as it is, and now we're nice to people as well. So to combine both is a great achievement, and I'm delighted about it. But I'm happy to take the blame for it for the last 17 years, but I'm equally thrilled that it's changed.
And looking forward, no doubt, to taking some credit as Ireland seeks to move that position up the Lonely Planet list from 5 to 1 over the next couple of years. Michael Cawley, thanks very much.
Thank you.